The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now, I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Rise and shine, everybody, and welcome back. This week, a preview of coming attractions, okay? A preview of coming attractions. Because for the next few weeks, you're going to hear in your gospel reading some of the most magnificent stories of divine mercy that have ever been told. Next week, you're going to hear the parable of the prodigal son. Did you know that that parable is a summary of the entire Bible? No exaggeration. That parable is a summary of the entire Bible, and there has never been revealed the fullness of the heart of the love and the mercy of your Heavenly Father ever before in any one story opposed to that one. And it's all coming your way next week. Week after that, you can hear the story of the woman caught in adultery. Remember that story? And the scribes and the Pharisees drag this poor lady into Jesus' presence and they say, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, according to the law of Moses, such people should be stoned to death. So what do you say we should do?" And Jesus answers masterfully, "Let the one among you who has no sin be the first one to throw a stone at her." Masterful response. The most beautiful stories of divine mercy, they're all coming your way, but before you can hear that, you first have to hear this. Before you can hear a message of mercy, you first have to hear a message of repentance. Because it's true, we've got a God of mercy. We've got a God of infinite mercy. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. However, our lives do not. We have a God of second chances. We have a God of third chances. We have a God of fourth chances. And a God of 1,004th chances. But one day, there will be a last chance. The message today, very simply, repent while you still can. You know, just a few weeks ago, we celebrated Ash Wednesday. Fascinating day, Ash Wednesday. You stand up here, as a priest at least, you stand up here and you say Mass all day long to a packed house. I mean, every single Mass, standing room only, except for maybe the 6:15, okay? Every single one. And you look out across the congregation and you're mystified, because at least half the people out there are people you've never even seen before. I would say 50% of the people that come to Mass on Ash Wednesday never come any other day of the year. They probably don't even come on Christmas and Easter, right? I mean, they're their own species. And you tell them, you're really supposed to come to Mass on Sunday, and they don't come back. What's so big about Ash Wednesday? Why does everybody come on Ash Wednesday? You want to know why? It's because we're told a hard truth on Ash Wednesday. That we're told almost no place else in our entire lives. And there's something about your heart that you want to be told the truth, even if it hurts to hear it. Even if it's tough. And what does the priest tell you on Ash Wednesday? Puts ashes on your forehead, and he says, remember you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. Tough message. You're going to die. You're going to return to the dust of the earth. So keep that in mind as you make your way throughout the day. Might not be the most pleasant thing in the world to hear, but daggumbit, it's honest. And people love it. Well, there's something similar to that, and we hear it this week in the gospel. Here's Jesus with the message of repentance, and he tells us about these poor Galileans who were just suddenly killed under Pontius Pilate. And then he tells us about those 18 people who just suddenly were killed, wrong place, wrong time, and a tower fell on them and killed them all. What's the message? Life is short. Life is fragile. Repent while you can. Because when this is all over, you're going to be judged for what you've done. It's tough love. It's hard truth. But, you know, there's something in your heart that needs to hear that. Give God some evidence that you actually mean to change your life. Don't be like this fig tree that Jesus talks about. Landowner comes up to the fig tree, says, you know, year after year, this thing produces no fruit whatsoever. Tear it down. The landowner represents God, by the way. We'll give it another chance, but, you know, I expect to see some evidence that you really mean to reform. Because when this is all over, we're all going to be judged for what we've done. So a little tiny word about the divine judgment today. Most people have a misunderstanding of what the divine judgment is like. They imagine it's going to be like a courtroom scene, right? With a prosecution and a defense and a pile of evidence for you and a pile of evidence against you and God sitting up there in the judgment seat passing judgment on your life. It's not like that. You know what the divine judgment's like? It's infinitely simple. And by the way, I'm not making this up. This is all in the catechism. Infinitely simple. It's kind of like looking in a mirror. And in an instant, you see yourself for who you really are. And we're choosing who we really are right now, one choice at a time. We are right now forging the results of our own divine judgment. So take care of the decisions that you make. You know, it reminds me of when I used to be a teacher. Did you know that before I came here to St. Teresa, I used to teach high school? I taught sophomores, and I taught seniors. I taught them religion, and I taught them the history of the Catholic Church at O'Connell High School. And I loved being a teacher, absolutely loved being a teacher. There are insights you get into human nature being a teacher that you never get anyplace else. So you know how it is with the teacher. He has his students, and he gives them little tasks to do. He says, yeah, there's a quiz coming up. There's a test coming up. I want you to write this paper. I want you to work this project. No mystery. Perfectly clear. Every student knows exactly what they're supposed to do. But it's absolutely amazing. Even though they know exactly what they're supposed to do, some students just don't do it. They know exactly what to do, and they just won't do it. So what do you do with kids like that? Well, you know, you sit them down, and you say, hey, amigo, semester's coming to an end, and I got to tell you right now, it's not looking good for you. You think maybe you want to work an extra credit project? Maybe. Do you want maybe to try retaking a test? There's a quiz coming up next week, and let me tell you, if you do well on that quiz, you can really save your skin. And you tell them, you warn them. And some kids act on it, and some kids, they just don't care. So what do? Well, you shrug your shoulders, you write down in a book the results of what they've chosen, and you call it a grade. And some kids get mad at when you give them a bad grade. Fascinating psychology, this. If a kid does well, they always credit themselves, right? I got an A, they say. But if a kid does badly, it's always the teacher's fault, right? Why did you give me a bad grade, they'll say. Why did you, and you know what I would say to them in response? I'd say, why did you give me a bad grade? I'd say, I don't give grades. I record them. It's kind of like that with the divine judgment. God doesn't give you a grade on your life. He simply acknowledges all the choices that you've already made, choices we are making right now. You ever heard this? Have you heard this said, you reap what you sow? Have you heard this said, sow an act, reap a habit? Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap an identity. Sow an identity, reap a destiny. You see, everybody talks about God's mercy, but do you realize God's mercy does you no good if you don't repent? No good at all if you don't repent. Here's why. Because what God wants from us is reconciliation. That's what He wants. God's hand of mercy is always extended. Always. But reconciliation doesn't happen unless we turn around and take His hand. That's why we have to repent. So what's repentance? I'm going to give you the simplest definition of repentance that you've ever heard in your life. Repentance means that if you're given more time, you wouldn't go and do the same thing again. That's repentance. Now, it doesn't mean you're never going to sin again. All of us are about as powerful, strong as a soap bubble, right? We've got all the strength of peanut brittle. Doesn't mean you're never going to sin again. But it does mean that you sure don't want to. And that you're taking concrete steps to make sure that you don't. Concrete steps now. Maybe some people, they're keeping bad company. They need to change their circle of friends. Some people, they have trouble with temptations that are coming to them across computer screens and smartphones. Maybe they need to leave their smartphone in the kitchen, right? Maybe leaving it on your bedside isn't the best idea in the world. Concrete steps. You know, one of my favorite stories of repentance comes from Good Friday. It's the story of the good thief. You know that story? You're going to hear it this year on Good Friday because it only shows up in the Gospel of Luke. I'm sorry, on Palm Sunday. It only shows up in the Gospel of Luke, and that's what we're reading this year. And when they crucified Jesus, they didn't crucify Him alone. He was crucified between two thieves, one on His right and the other on His left. And on Good Friday, one thief, he turns to Jesus and he says, "Hey, if you're the Son of God, get us down off this cross." And the other thief turns and he says, "No, no. We've done wrong. And we are getting exactly what we deserve." Good thief and the bad thief. Suppose for a moment Jesus did let him down off that cross. Suppose He did. What do you think would have happened? You think that bad thief would have changed his life? No, he would have gone right back to stealing again. How about the good thief? You know he would have changed his ways. That's repentance. Given more time, you wouldn't do the same thing again. That's how we need to live. You know, people always talk about God's mercy. God's mercy, it doesn't do you any good without repentance. Another image for it. Imagine a man with a broken arm. Okay? Imagine a man with a broken arm, and he says, "I've got a broken arm, but I'm not worried. I'm not worried because I know that there's doctors out there and there's nurses out there, and they can set broken limbs, so I'm going to be just fine." Not unless he gets up and goes to a hospital. He's not going to be just fine with this abstract idea of medical science out there in the ether. And it's similar with God's mercy. It's true. I've used this image before. If you take all the sins that have ever been committed in all of history and you liken them to a drop of water, God's mercy compared to that drop is like all the waters of all the oceans put together. It's mind-boggling how great His mercy is. And yet we access it by repenting. So we're in the season of Lent. We're in the season of Lent. If you've fallen, make the most of it. You know, it's not the fall, but rather the bounce that counts. Because whether you like it or not, our time is limited. And nobody knows how long we have. We have a God of second chances. We have a God of third chances. We have a God of 1,003 chances. But whether you like it or not, one day there will be a last chance. So let you and I this Lent be practicing Catholics. And by that I mean, keep on practicing until you get it right. And if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.